Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Enjoying the World Cup? If you want proper analysis, honest opinions, and plenty of laughs along the way, give The Rest Is Football a listen. Gary Lineker, Alan Shearer, and Micah Richards break down the biggest games, the standout moments, and everything happening on and off the pitch with brilliant guests joining them throughout the tournament. Whether you followed football your whole life or you're just getting into it, they'll help you make sense of the drama, the tactics, the joy, and the heartbreak of the World Cup. Listen to The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. You know, I've been rethinking how I style the smallest spaces in my house this summer. Instead of stressing over what won't fit, I've been looking at tons of versatile styles from Bob's Discount Furniture that actually multitask. Whether you're working from home or hosting guests, take that Betty dining set, for example. When it's just me, it's a compact, space-saving setup with a super comfy Bobapedic seats. But it extends in a snap when company arrives. It comes in four fun colors, boasts over 1,500 five-star reviews, and at just $5.99 for a seven-piece set, you'll actually have a budget left for the dinner party. And if you love that retro chic vibe, they also have the Betty Bedroom Set featuring gorgeous felt-lined storage drawers and another 1,500 five-star reviews. Or if you just want to lounge, check out the Phantom Power Reclining Sofa. It's packed with cup holders, charging ports, and Bobapedic cushions without taking over your whole living room. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Welcome in to the Odds and Audibles podcast, summer edition. I'm Matt Preem, Eric Scopel on the show. As always, welcome to another edition. It's the middle of summer now. We're recording this podcast on the last day of June. The next couple what we'll be releasing are going to be pre-recorded because, hey, it's vacation time. And we're gonna be fully front and honest about that. Like, Eric and I both are going to be on vacation at different parts of July. We're knocking these out, but that doesn't mean that these podcasts aren't important, aren't fun conversations, aren't interesting conversations, because we're going to dive into a little bit more of kind of our outlook, our perspective, our opinion towards the football program going into fall camp, which, depending upon when you read this podcast, when it hits, it's less than a month away from officially opening camp, which is scary to think about. Big Ten Media Day is less than a month away, which is scary to think about. But nonetheless, Eric, let's dive into – we're going to do a three-part series here. We're each going to give off offense, defense. And for today's podcast, it's going to be, where are we most confident with the offense? Where are we most confident with the defense? And this is open book. So this could be position group. This could be player. This could be coach. This could be a wide range of answers here. I'll let you go first. I'll go on the back end defense confidence or offense confident and then defense confident. You can finish off with the defense, but offensively, where are you most confident with this group right now?
I think that Dante Moore has a lot of people to throw the ball to that you should feel confident about, right? Like, and it's going to be interesting to see where we land, by the way, when we do our least confident or in our wild cards and kind of take a look at kind of broadly where we're maybe have some questions and concerns. But I think pretty easily when you look at this offense, you go, man, this is maybe the best collection of receiving talent Oregon's had on a roster at once. From a recruiting ranking perspective, it is. And again, if you're looking at this group here. Evan Stewart was a five-star. DeCorian Moore was a five-star. Jalen Lott, Gatlin Bear, a couple of freshmen, five-star recruits. Jeremiah McClellan was a top 140 recruit. I mean, this is a really, really talented receiving room. And then you put in a Jamari Johnson who, you know, you look at various websites, various, you know, assessments of who he is as a player. And it's like, is he the best tight end in the country? Oh, if he's not, maybe he's one of the three or four best. So I look at this group and say, I think at receiver, it's probably a top five unit in the country. At tight end, it's probably a top five unit in the country. There's a couple other areas on offense where I would turn and say, I'm probably not as bullish on this group. I have some questions here, and we'll get into those in our future podcasts. But I look at receiver and go, it's a really good problem to have when you've got four guys that you think are above average starter levels on the team, and you're trying to figure out how they all fit together, who the right players are, where they work. And that's been more of the conversation this offseason at receiver in particular, of just like, okay, they've got so many good players. How is this going to work? And I think ultimately you trust the staff, you trust Dante Moore, you trust this group to kind of get out there and hit the ground running when games start this fall. But regardless of where this lands, I feel really good about who Dante Moore is throwing the football to. And knock on wood, because this is how we felt a year ago, assuming full health, I think this could be the difference maker, maybe getting into postseason play, of you've got multiple elite guys that defenses have to account for, have to game plan for. And that's just a little different than it was even this past season, even maybe the year before that, when it was Tez and Trayshawn and those guys. Makes me think maybe back to that 2023 offense with Bo, where we had all of those top receivers to throw to, and that was why that was such a successful season for that offense.
This is so funny because Eric and I, we don't often share our answers when we do these things. And I think it's a sign that we've been working together for a really long time, and we're pretty much in lockstep of, like, not necessarily just totally agreeing with everything the other one says, but we both have kind of a good feel for where things are at. I didn't necessarily go receivers, but I kind of went the same line. And I'm happy you said it with the receiver part, because you're right. Like, the talent we have to watch on offense this season at the receiver position, like you said, is as good as it's ever been. That plays into mine, and it's just the explosiveness of the offense. And its totality, whether it's the quarterback at Dante Moore or even if he gets hurt, I feel very confident that Dylan Raiola and Brock Thomas can lead an offense and it still be explosive. It still be an offense that puts up huge numbers. You touched on the receiver aspect of it. You look at running back, and mm-hmm. Jordan Davidson and De'Aaron Hill are just two absolute studs at that position group. And then at the tight end spot, while you have one proven player, Jamari Johnson, he's probably the best tight end, or maybe the second best tight end in the entire sport for the country for the Division I college football next season. So for me, I feel the most confident that this offense is going to be as explosive, if not the most explosive as it's been in the Dan Lanning era, starting back in 2022. And keep in mind, last season in 2025, they were 10th in the country in scoring at just under 37 points per game. In 2024, it was their low point of the season, of the Dan Lanning era. 17th nationally in points per game at just 34.9 points. 2023 was the best year in Dan Lanning's era. 44 points per game, second in the country, only to LSU, who won the national championship that season. And then in 2022, they were again inside the top 10 at number 9, in a two-way tie with TCU at 38.8. I think, Eric, this is a year in which 40 is – it's not the bar. It's probably the target goal for every game, though. Get the 40. And that's and that feels very realistic, because you've got an experienced quarterback that's one of the best in the country. You talked about the receiving core and how loaded that unit is. You've got the best tight end in the country, if not top three guy. You've got two really good running backs that are proven productive players at that position. And then on top of that, you've got a wide net of newcomers joining the roster, whether they're transfers, whether they are freshmen, or whether they're delayed enrolled freshmen. joining the group that are all talented players, that's only going to make this unit even better. So for me, it's the explosiveness and the high-powered opportunity of scoring probably more than 40 points per game.
One point of clarification, Michigan won in 2023, not
– Yes, sorry.
Just to confirm. I have a couple thoughts on this, and it wasn't something I thought we would get into, but it's been something I've been thinking about is because you look back at 2023, and happy we're highlighting that as kind of the barometer, because I think if you're honest about it, that has a case to be top two, top three offense the school's ever produced, that 2023 yes. offense. Like, you look at all the stats, and you look at what Bo did. I think that's the best passing season by a quarterback. You had Bucky Irving. You had Jordan James. You just had so many dominant athletes in that offense. Troy Franklin, Tez Johnson, I think the best 1-2 probably receiver tandem you've ever had. They both got to 1,000 yards that hadn't been done before. One point of curiosity I have, Matt, is that was the last year in the Pac-12. You moved to the Big Ten. Like, and I think this is actually maybe a really good way to put it, is can Oregon get to 40 points in this conference? And if they do – what does that tell us, I guess, about how good this offense is if they're able to get to that threshold? Because I bring that up, you know, Indiana last year got to 42, aided, unfortunately, by the second Oregon game kind of got him over the top probably a little bit. But, you know, nobody else was at 40. And you go back the years before that, you know, it's like get one team, you know, Indiana actually in 2024, over 40, everybody else a little below that, you know, and you keep going back in the 2023, 2022 range. Again, not a lot of teams get over that 40-point per game mark. It's kind of the elite teams, and in one case at least, the national champion. In this conference, I'm just curious to see what does it say about you as an offense if you can score 40 in the Big Ten? Because it doesn't happen very often, as opposed to the Pac-12, where if you go back to, let's just say 2023, the year Oregon got there, you know, there were a couple of teams. USC was also over that mark, and you go back to 2022, USC was also over that mark. Washington was at that mark. So I'm just curious if scoring seems to be a little more difficult to get to in this conference, if Oregon's able to hit 50, I think that will be a really good number to try to kind of measure how good this group was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll go now to the defensive side of the football. I'm going to maybe pull a wild card here of expectations.
Okay.
I think – Oregon's secondary, this is where they are going to be improved. They are going to be elite. And we're going to have conversations about them being maybe the top unit in college football. I think that's a two-part answer. One, I think the skill level is there.
Yeah.
I think the talent and the depth is there. I think Brandon Finney Jr. is going to be an All-American. I think Coy Parrish has an opportunity to be an All-American. I think if Ife Obadegwu and Aaron Flowers are kind of your, lack of a better term, the bottom of your starting unit, that's really good. I still feel like both those guys are really talented. I know we don't really know what the star position could look like. I'm banking on Carl Williams being a dude. I think I'm in the position now where Chris Hampton, Oregon's defensive coordinator, DB's coach, Dan Lanning, they have targeted studs at that position the last couple of seasons, and it's one of those in which you trust the staff, you trust the evaluators, you trust the development that they've got. They have a certain skill set that they like. They produce really good players at that spot the last two seasons, have made the NFL rosters. I'm expecting that, you know, I'm not expecting Carl Williams to be an NFL player next season at this point next year, but I'm just believing in the fact that he's going to be a dude, or whoever beats him out will be a dude. And so, I think the talent, the athleticism, the depth in the secondary is special. It's going to be an elite unit in college football. It's going to be one of the best. But secondly, why that happens is because of the front. I think Oregon's front four is going to be so good that masking isn't really the right word to describe it, but it's going to make life really easy. And when life is easy in the secondary, and on top of that, you have a bunch of dudes in the secondary, that's when you go from good to great. And that's when you go from great to elite. That's when you go from elite to all time. And I think there's an opportunity here where we go back to, what was it, like 2007, 2008, 2009-ish, when we talked about the D-boys. Walter Thurman, Jarius Byrd, Eddie Pleasant, TJ Ward, like those group of guys. I mean, over 20 years ago, we're still talking about, we still know the nickname, we still reference them. I'm not saying that's going to happen for this group in 2026, but they have the talent plus the front to reach that level of legacy within a program.
Yeah, I like how you touched on both groups, because you're right. They work together. They work in tandem. And I think at times last year when the secondary had issues, think about this Indiana, especially that second Indiana game, getting beaten down the field a little bit more than we'd seen. Because this was a really great secondary last year, we should acknowledge. But the fact that they weren't able to get after Mendoza, weren't able to really speed him up. I know they had some success. I think of the Nasir Wyatt forced fumble, I think, in the second quarter of that game. But a lot of it, it felt like he had his time. His players were just able to, and really, to be brutally honest, like top-tier receiving talent or not, good receivers at the Division I level are going to beat really good corners if given enough time to run routes and get downfield. So that was the issue for me last year, right? And this kind of leads right into where my head's at, which is my confidence is the pass rush is going to be significantly better. Yeah. It's going to be an improved pass rush. And, you know, maybe this fits better in like a wild card category, but, you know, to finish, I think it was like 69th in sacks last year and 96th in tackles for loss and be basically a subpar back half of the Big Ten unit in terms of being disruptive, it didn't align with what we've seen from Dan Lanning at Oregon. Because you even go back to the year before that in the first year in the Big Ten, and this was a much better unit from in terms of causing disruption, right? Like they were third in the Big Ten in 2024 in sacks, and then they fell all the way down to seventh last year. And you go into you take a look at tackles for loss, they were fourth in 2024, and they fell all the way down to sixth the year, you know, in 2025. I know those don't sound like drastic drops, but there was regression. I think you're going to see some significant improvement here. And the reason I have confidence is the players, right? And it's so funny to kind of talk about these issues when the players that are playing the positions, like, are all guys that were really excited to come back for their senior seasons, were all guys that were looked at as first, second, third, maybe fourth, but probably top three round draft picks, are all guys that have been all conference players before, right? Like three of these guys, by the way, were all conference defensive players in 2025. Tuioti and Amari Washington were on the third team. Bear Alexander was on the second team. And yet we're looking at this unit and we're looking at the production from a sack perspective and a disruption perspective and saying kind of wasn't good enough. So something has to kind of mesh out there when you think about the names that are coming back on this defensive line and even the pass production in 2024, especially from a Mateo. And, you know, I think Amari and Tatum both had their best seasons last year, but like there seems like there's a bunch of growth here and upside when you talk about these players. And so I have a lot of confidence. They're just going to be more disruptive in the front. And to Matt's point, I think that parlays into success on the backside too. So, no, this defense has a lot of reasons we can be confident in. It's probably hard to start anywhere for me, at least, than just those guys at the front, because this is
– yeah.
We've talked about this all offseason. These are the names on this defense. When you talk about the Oregon defense and the national shows this offseason, where are they starting? They're talking about Mateo. They're talking about Tatum. They're talking about the two guys in the middle. There's a lot of upside, like maybe the best defensive line Oregon's ever had. Like in that conversation for that, if they are actually the most talented defensive line Oregon's ever had, they have to produce a heck of a lot better than what we saw them do last year in 2025. I'm confident they're going to get it done.
And to your point, none of my confidence is even there if the front's confidence right. Isn't there. Like that's just not possible. You can have the best secondary in the country. You could have four first round draft picks, but if you don't have a good defensive line, they're not going to be able to do their job.
Yeah. And yeah, so they have to work together.
Yes. It's a unit that has to work together. All right, that's going to do it for us. It's a short one. It's a quick one, but hey, it's summertime. Enjoy your vacations. Enjoy your opportunities to be with friends and family. We'll be back later this month, right? I should say later this week with another podcast, breaking down our concerns or maybe where we're least confident and also what are going to be the wild cards for the offense and defense, all coming up here next couple of weeks, days here on the Odds and Audibles podcast. But until then, you've been listening to the Odds and Audibles podcast.
Talk to you later, folks.
Criminal Minds Evolution is back on Paramount Plus.
We are going to go where the evidence takes us.
This season, evil is contagious.
Once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Criminal Minds Evolution. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus.